Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. I'm going to be using a lot of text this morning, and they will be up here, and I'm going to try to give you time to find them, because it's really important that you see this is all straight out of the Bible, and I've been just studying these texts all this week. Love is something. Love is something, and we love one another, but it just hit me a couple weeks ago when I started thinking about Love Sunday. Is to go to another level, to go to another level. And that level that the Lord laid on my heart was when we offend people or when people offend us. How do you get past that? Do husbands and wives offend one another on a regular basis? I know I offend Ron Lee. Now, she doesn't offend me, okay? And that was a joke. It's important that we realize close friends have difficulty with this. Is that right? You get offended. You get offended. You get your feelings hurt. A person says something, you take it the wrong way, or you think they said this, and does it happen all the time? It happens a lot. In rearing teenagers and rearing children, the children start getting opinions, and you like this one better than that. Is a lot happening? A lot happening. At school, at work, we get offended and we offend. And I wanted to start out here by saying God takes offenses seriously. I just want you to hear that. It says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, I love this phrase, which believe in me, this is Jesus talking, it would be better for him that a millstone, you know what a millstone is? Weighs about 1,000 pounds, okay? Crushes the meal and the wheat and everything, a big circle thing, big wheel. A millstone was hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's terrible. He says, but if you offend one of my little ones, if you cause one of my little ones to walk away from God, huh? That's why we take our children's ministry so seriously here. And it says, if you cause one of these, if you hurt them, if you grieve them, if you wound them, he says, I'm going to take this serious. If you offend somebody, man, that's serious. You hurt them. It says in the Old Testament that a friend offended is harder to win back than a city. And you say, wow, I need to take offense seriously. And I'd say the biggest offense that we have is our own families, huh? Our own mates sometimes. We offend them and we do not even know it sometimes. And how do you handle being offended? How do you handle offending? And secondly, I want you to see there are places where there will be offenses happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Everybody turn. Most of my texts are in Romans and Corinthians and Colossians. Put the next slide up. The important here of the gospel is good news. Wonderful good news. Amen. It saves your soul. But to an unbeliever, it is what? Offensive, detestable, bad news. Because it says that, if you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. But if you don't believe in Jesus, what? You go to hell. And that's offensive. I hope you're there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved by the power of God, it is the power of God, but we preach, verse 23, jump to verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a what? A stumbling block, an offense. It offends them. They're looking for signs. They're just not. We preach Christ. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. When we were in Israel, we weren't allowed to go up to a Jew and talk to him about Jesus as the Messiah. They don't believe it. And they don't want to hear it. And it says, but we preach Christ and Him dying for our sins, crucified. Unto the Jew a stumbling block, an offense. And unto the Greek foolishness, nonsense. Because they want facts and figures. All they believe is natural, no supernatural. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you're going to start witnessing to somebody, in that journey of witnessing, if they don't come to Christ, you're going to offend them. Is that true? I had a neighbor, and I said to my neighbor, I said, isn't it wonderful, the stars and the moon and the birds and everything that God made? Isn't it wonderful that we have a Savior? And he said, don't tell me about Savior. There comes a time when you're going to share the good news, and if a person doesn't want it, it offends them. And let me tell you, did the gospel that Jesus preached offend the people that he was around enough for them to what? Crucify him. I don't think we need to help it being offensive, okay? I don't think you need to be mean. But you need to know that either when it comes right down to it, Jesus died for our sins. So you have to be a sinner before you can become a saved person. And that's offensive to people. But it's the truth. The only way they get saved is to become a sinner first and realize I got to have forgiveness of my sins. I'm lost. I need a Savior. That's the good news. Also, there is the issue of truth and righteousness and modesty and morality and joy. See this period. Everybody turn to Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Also put a finger in 1 Corinthians 5:11. There is truth, there is righteousness, there is morality and modesty and joy in obedience of these things. But if you are not a believer and you get heard that what you're doing is immoral, what you're doing is immodest, what you're doing is not righteous, what you're doing is false, it's offensive and judgmental to the people that disbelieve. And you got to realize, wow, I don't mean to offend you, but there's some things in the Bible that are wrong. And if you claim to know Jesus in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, you can't do these things. Is that right? This is wrong. It's what God says. It's offensive to them if they don't respond. Verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, confront them, judge them, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. This person is not preaching that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. That's wrong. And no getting around it. You have to do this. Dr. Whitcomb, we all know Dr. Whitcomb. He was here for us. Preached at us a couple times. Great mind of God. Great man of God and great mind for serving God. Hobart Freeman. You ever heard of Hobart Freeman? Hobart Freeman had the church down in Syracuse that believed in healing and everything. Hobart Freeman. And Hobart Freeman was the smartest man Dr. Whitcomb ever come in contact with. He was a teacher at Grace. And then Hobart Freeman started teaching things that came out of Hobart Freeman's mind. And Dr. Whitcomb had to confront him and tell him, that's not according to Scripture. You are wrong. And they split ways. Split ways. And he led many people astray. All the people that believed you didn't go to the hospital or doctors dying all over the place. He himself died of gangrene. And you shouldn't die of gangrene. And sad, because the truth is in Jesus, in the Bible, righteousness. This is what the Bible says about morality and modesty. To obey it is joyous, but to disobey it, it's offensive. Who are you to tell me? Verse 18, look at him. It said, verse 17, it says, this man causes divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. Confront them. Judge them. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. eyes, their own appetites, their own flesh, and are good, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Is there a lot of deception going on today? You know, that's not biblical. And a person that doesn't take that is offended by it. And I'm just saying, so be it. It has to be. Now, we still need to be nice. Is that right? We still need to be nice. But truth is truth. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I trust you're there. Another issue. It says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. Okay, it just said you don't disassociate with an unbeliever for being an unbeliever and sinning. That's just who they are. Now believers ought not to live that way. Verse 11. It says, but now I've written unto you not to keep company or associate with, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, be a or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. That is just all kinds of sexual immorality, greed, slander, drunkenness, dishonest. It says, no, not even to eat with that man. Don't even have communion with that man. Don't have fellowship. Verse 13, it says right at the end, put away from among yourselves that wicked person, that slanderer, that gossip, that deceiver, that one that spreads rumors, that one that sows strife. Confront it. Stop it. And there's a time sometimes we have to tell somebody as sweetly as we can, that's wrong. That's not according to Jesus. That's not according to the Bible. And we're not going to just sit quietly at this immorality or this greed or this idolatry or this slander or this drunkenness or this dishonesty or this deceiving and gossiping and spreading rumors and sowing. Is that right? It's wrong. And we need to be as sweet as we can. How you do it is important, isn't it? How you do it, when you do it's important. But if they don't respond to truth, it offends them. And God says, I got to tell people about Jesus. If it offends them, I still have to tell them. And truth, and he's my brother, and I got to help him. And you pray about it, and you do come at them humbly, and wow, as their friend, and try to encourage them in the right direction. And it can be taken offensive. Those are two issues of that. And then my next point is, be careful here. Put the next point up. This is powerful. Don't fall into Satan's pride trap by becoming super spiritual and judgmental. Is that pretty easy? In our fundamental circles, we can do that. We can get in this trap. Everybody turn to Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. We can get into this self-righteous, I'm more spiritual than you. We start judging people and comparing people and giving our thoughts on everything, and we just want everybody to agree with us and everybody to think like I think, and my standard is higher than theirs, or my opinion is my preferences, how I worship, modesty, raising children, just being corrective, being negative, being critical. Is that true? Can it happen? I love it that our church isn't judgmental. I love it. I love it. Now we're holding to the first points. If you're unsaved, you need Jesus, or you go to hell. No apologies. And if you are involved in any kind of issue of that's truth and righteous, if you're causing discord and you're dishonest and you're just full of greed and it just shows all over the place, I, as your brother, need to put my arm around you and help you. Is that right? And that's very important. Lovingly, lovingly, lovingly. But don't get to a place where you start thinking you're more spiritual because you do this better than them, or you start having your preferences and your opinions, and you start getting in your mind that you're super spiritual. Can that affect you? Let's all shake our heads. It can affect you. And we need to help brothers and sisters, and we need to be a part of their improvement. And look at your text there. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me. Sound like a song, huh? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the right, in the way everlasting. The New Living says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I love this part right here. Verse 24. Point out anything in me that offends you. Wow. That offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life, that we realize, God, help me. The devil wants to get us doing number one and number two up there of the gospel and righteousness, but then he wants to get us adding up. Thus we would be negative all the time, bitter all the time, is that right? Fussing all the time, and trying to make everybody conform to what I think. I grew up very, very conservative. Want me to say another very in there? Very, very conservative. Everything was wrong. And there were so many things I could not do, okay? And my mom was trying to protect me, and well done, or I'd have got into a lot of trouble. But there are some things that aren't wrong with what you're doing there, like playing pool. And my mom would not let me do that, but she grew up in a pool hall setting and drinking and partying and fighting and everything, and so it was connected, and I didn't understand all of that, and it was kind of tough. And those are kind of tough when you have those. We need to know that we need to make room for each other's little differences. Is that right? And people do things differently. And now people think black and white is hard to catch that. Is that true? I don't think black and white. but when you do, it affects you. Is that right? Come on, you have a personality. Well, that's wrong, you know. And does God say it's wrong? Is it in the Bible? My mama would say, it's in there someplace. That was good for me because I was stupid and teenager, and stupid teenagers need some help sometimes. Is that right? And wow. And you say, wow. But don't get thinking that you're more spiritual and you have to be the corrector and the judger of everything. Wow. Let's go to getting the next one there. When you offend someone, next one there. When you offend someone, everybody turn to 1 Corinthians 8. Everybody turn there. When you offend someone, humble yourself to the max and win them back. Is that true? You find that you've offended them. Maybe you didn't mean to. You know, you didn't mean to hurt their feelings. You didn't mean to be critical. It was careless. It was insensitive. You know what I'm saying? Does it happen? Do we offend people? We do. I do. And once you find out you offend somebody and they tell you about it, you need to humble yourself to the max. Is that right? This chapter, this verse here, he humbles himself to the max. Paul is a good Jew, and he likes to save money. And the meat offered at the store, the meat that was offered to idols was cheaper than the other meat, so he always ate the meat offered to idols. No problem. But then a person that just got saved out of idolatry walked up to him and said, Paul, what you doing here at the temple buying meat? And they said, that used to ruin us. And now we've pulled away from that, and we don't even go close to that temple. And he says, how do you go in there and buy meat? And he says, I didn't realize it offended you. Because there's only one God. This meat offered to that God is not a God. Is that right? There's nothing deity, nothing religious in this meat. But he says, if you think that it has something religious to it and it offends you and it calls you to think about going back to idolatry, he says, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12 and 13, I will never eat this meat offered to idols as long as the world stands. Is that a big statement? That's to the max. That's to the max. Another translation says, I won't eat it as long as I live. Paul saying, brother, I love you. And if this offends you, I will never eat this meat and come to this temple ever again. I'll go to Ruth Crisp and pay the larger money. That's what's happening. Because you are more important to me than my daily food. Some even thought that he's saying that I will never eat meat again. I'll become a vegetarian. That's even more. Wow. Paul to the max, when he realized he offends somebody, to the max he got rid of it. To the max, if that offends you, I will never do that. And I've offended people. And many times the way I offend people is I'm having fun and laughing at their expense and they get offended. You ever do that? I do it. Yeah. And once I realize it, I have to go to that person and talk to that person and ask their forgiveness and apologize. And I say this to people I counsel with, apologize to them till they tell you, shut up, don't ask me again, you're forgiven, don't even talk about it again, get out of here. Then you know what? You're forgiven. You offended them. You led them in the wrong direction. You might have said some words. You might have done something carelessly, insensitively, and critically. You did something to offend them. And he says, I will never do this as long as I live. When you find you've offended your wife, your husband, your teenagers, your parents, your best friend, a person at work. Is that right? When you find out you offend them, to the max. You work humbly to gain them back and apologize. And Paul said to the biggest statement, if that meat offends you, I will never eat that meat again as long as the earth stands. That's to the max. Was it wrong for Paul to eat that meat? No. But since it bothered his brother's more important than his hunger. And that's whole Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8, whole text there. The next, when you offend someone else, this is another subject. When someone offends you, your true spiritual maturity will be revealed. Big statement. Somebody offended you. Somebody's upset you. Somebody's rubbed you wrong. Somebody's hurt you, wounded you, grieved you, peeved you, irritate you. Is it going to happen? The answer is what? I will probably offend each of you somewhere, or probably, maybe rephrase that. I have probably offended each of you somewhere in the 35 years I've been here. And you've had to forgive me. And if you told me about it, I was to humble myself and work hard at you. And I've done that many a time. I hope you're not too proud not to do that. Because if somebody's offended, you can argue with them and all that. But you know, when you offend someone, what do you do? How do you handle that? It shows your real relationship to Christ. It shows how deep you love Christ. What you do at that moment and afterwards reveals your relationship with Christ. You know, there's either two reactions once you offend someone. Either you deal with it before the Lord, you take it to God, or you destroy the other person. You try to defend yourself. Worst part, if you go tell somebody else. Keep this thing closed. Is that right? Keep it between you and God and that person. You're not to go tell everything. You know, you've offended somebody and don't go talking about it. Don't avoid those people. Don't snob those people. Don't take revenge. Go to God. Joseph. If anybody had the right to be revengeful, it was Joseph in the Old Testament. His brothers sold him into the pit, and they got rid of him, tried to force him out, and he had to go to jail, and he had to be in prison, and he wasted his life from 17 to about 30, the greatest years of his life. And it says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for..." You meant it for evil, but God meant it for... That is, wow, how did he do that? You know, when you offend someone, what you going to do? What you going to do? I have 3 points here, real quick. First one, let's all turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. These are all well-known verses. The first point I want you to know is, don't be easily offended. You hurt my feelings. You know, can we be easily offended? Let's all shake our heads. We can be easily offended. And the point is here, in 1 Corinthians here, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not rude, love is not easily angered, love hopes all things, believes all things. You know, this is love. Don't be easily offended. That is very important that we take that. Don't go on a pity party. Don't go off or go sulk someplace or nurse your grievances or just be miserable. Is that what happens? You're just miserable. Come on. When you've offended someone and they don't need to be offended easily, and it's very important to catch that and to say that. Also in James 1:19, it says, be quick to what? Listen. Be slow to speak, and be slow to anger. And these are the rules here. Don't be easily offended. And when you are offended, or someone offends you, or you offend them, don't be easily. Is that worth fussing about? And some of us are too sensitive and carry all of our feelings on our shoulders. Is that right? No, don't do it. Don't do it. Teenagers don't do it. So many times. You hurt my feelings. As my phrase would be, get a life. Second point. I love this point. Everybody turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Great verse. It says, let love cover a multitude of offenses. And, you need to let it go. You need not to hold on to it. You don't need to grab it. You don't need to, just let loose of it. Have you ever seen a monkey trap? A monkey trap in Africa, in the jungles, they just have a little cylinder, and it has a little cylinder, and then it opens up bigger on this end, and it has a piece of luscious food that a monkey wants, and the monkey sticks his hand in, okay, and grabs the morsel. Is that right? And all he'd have to do is let the morsel go, and he can pull his hand out. But he puts his hand in, grabs the morsel, and he's hooked. That's how they catch them. All you have to do is let loose of it and pull it out. But he just holds on to it. I want you to know, you need to not hold on. You need to let it go. You need to cover it. You need to cover it with Jesus' love. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and above all things, with fervent charity, love, agape, God's kind of love, selflessness, among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And New Living says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. We need to cover those things. I was going to bring a cover up here this morning, but I couldn't get it. And you need to just to cover it. Do you know, in a husband-wife relationship, in children relationship, teenager parenting relationships, friendships, all kinds of schoolmates, workmates, is that right? I love you. You must be having a bad day. Is that right? How you assume the best? Maybe they were unaware of how they came across. You give the benefit of the doubt. My friend probably meant well. They just didn't say it right. They were really trying to show me concern, and it just didn't come out right. They were probably preoccupied with something else, and maybe they didn't feel well. Is that right? You cover that. Is that right? They didn't say it right. They didn't come across right. They were insensitive. It just come out. Does it do that sometimes? But I love them. I love my wife. So love covers all of the things she may do, or I get it, my feelings hurt. I can either blunder out or I can just cover it. Is that right? I can just cover it. I need not to be sensitive too quickly, first point. Second point is I just cover it. You might say something to me, and I just say, wow, you must be having a bad day. And I wasn't involved there. Or you really didn't mean what you said. Is all in how you think it and receive it? You just covered it. With brothers, with sisters, with husbands, with wives, with friends, you just covered it. They said something in anger, is that right? And you just covered it. Forgot about it, is that right? Just let it go. You just don't hold on to it. You don't grab it. Do you know that's one of the greatest things in a relationship? That you just love them, and you move on, and you talk to God, and you don't hold on to it, and you just move on, you cover it. And you just love them. I love them. Is that right? I forgive you. And the last one, I love this one. Let's all go there. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We were just at 1 Peter 4. Colossians chapter 3. This is my final point. That means I got 10 minutes left. We're eating here today. I could go till 3 o'clock. Colossians chapter 3. Everybody turn there. Phil read it. It's great text. Great text. I read this and I said, this is great stuff. The verse in the New Living says this: make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Make allowance. Do we all do stupid stuff? I do more stupid stuff than anybody. Okay, I do stupid stuff all the time. Okay. Make allowance. He's my friend. Is that right? She's my soulmate. That's my child. They're my parents. Make allowance for their frailties, their humanness, their sinfulness. They're having a bad day. They just lost their temper. In a fight, in a husband and wife fight, you might have called it that, in a husband and wife skirmish, somebody's got to cover it. Is that right? Somebody's got to allow for them to lose their temper and to blow and then not respond and walk up and hug them. Is that right? Somebody's got to do that. They got to make allowance for their faults. They did wrong. But you don't respond. You've offended them or they've offended you. I love this verse. Let's read it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, all kinds of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The New Living says this, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderness, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive one another who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. so you must forgive others.
Wow.
Verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Sounds like the Pepsi song about 20 years ago. It's this right here is the greatest verse. You need to have this. You need to write this verse down. Have it in your mind. Because when you have squirmishes with different people and scruples with different people, you need to know that, hey, I don't have to be easily offended. I can cover it because I love them. And I can allow for their mistakes, their foolishnesses, and I will forgive them. Because if you don't do those three things and you offend or be offended, you'll be miserable, bitter, and a mess the rest of your life. Is that true? That's true. And it works. It brings the family together. It's the bond of perfect harmony. Coming together as a family, teenagers. If you obey these three things, your parents will look better to you. Huh? And parents to teenagers, same thing. Very important. And work and school and marriage, huh? When I thought about this, I said, this is one of the biggest problems in marriage. One of the biggest problems in sibling relationships. One of the biggest problems in friendship relationships. Don't be easily offended. Love covers a multitude of offenses. I just love you. You can't make me mad at you. I love you. I love you. You must be having a bad day, or you wouldn't say those things. And then lastly, allow for each other's faults. They're human, they're sinners. And forgive anyone who offends you. Let's all pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning said, preacher, I needed this message? Raise your hand. I needed this message. I needed it too. I've been preaching myself all week long. Teenagers, catch these things. It will give you happiness instead of sorrow and bitterness. And if you got a problem with gossiping and just telling other people and being critical and negative, come on. There's joy in Jesus. He gives us the plan here in these verses. Do it. If you're here this morning, you know not Jesus as your Savior. He's the one who can help you do these things to have peace and joy instead of bitterness and anger and frustration and fussing all the time and just war in the family and war in friendships and just tough times. Preacher, I'm here this morning. And I'd like to live this way. I would like to live this way. But I don't have Jesus in my life. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Just lift a hand up. I pray with you. I will not embarrass you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I pray for you. This morning I'm talking about a new level of love between husband and wife, family, friends, siblings, schoolmates, workmates. This will make you happy. This will give you joy and peace instead of bitterness and anger and frustration. Go God's way, because it's the right way and it's the blessed way. And we deepen our love for one another.